What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. Hello, my loves. What's up? And welcome back to another episode of the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, and I am a mental health advocate, a coach, and an athlete aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. If it's your first time listening or if you're watching the YouTube, know that I greatly appreciate it. And if you're an avid listener of my show, that's even better. Thank you so much for tuning in and hopefully taking some time to better your overall health and wellness journey. That's really what my show is all about. Just one quick thing that I want to go over. You guys kind of bear with me. I'm just getting over having the flu and I was pretty down bad for a couple of days. And to be honest, I still have the flu, but I'm super dedicated to this show. And I really just wanted to come on here and make sure that I get an episode out for you guys every single week. So if I'm kind of slow, if I'm taking some pauses, or if I just sound kind of funky and out of it, that is why. But I want to give you guys the absolute best that I have and feel like this is an episode that you guys are going to absolutely love. So thank you so much again for bearing with me and just for listening to my show. So we're almost a full month into the year of 2025 now, and I hope all of you again are doing well on your wellness journey because you already know health is wealth. Today's episode is really a deep dive into nutrition, strength training, supplementation, bodybuilding, and just fitness as a whole. I wanted to break down some pretty complex subject matters relating to health and wellness, but explain them in a way that is actually interesting and actually easy to understand. So I wanted to play a game of would you rather, but put my own little spin on it, we'll say, and make this more of a fitness addition. So yesterday I made a post on my Instagram story asking you guys to send in some questions and actually received some pretty good would you rather questions that I thought would be fun to share. So not only am I going to answer the main questions that I thought would be applicable and fun for you guys to listen to, but I also want to tell you why I would choose these answers and hopefully give you a few helpful tips when it comes to health and wellness that, again, you can just start applying to your life today. But before we jump into a big topic of today's episode, while we are on the concept of health and wellness, I want to take a minute just to tell you a little bit more about me and my one-on-one coaching service if you are interested in fitness coaching. And reason I want to stress this so much today is because of an inquiry phone call that I had last week that kind of got me thinking. Most of you know that I am not a good promotional type of person. To build any business, it actually kind of sucks because you have to be good at marketing and you have to really put yourself out there. But that is one part about my job that, to be honest, I just kind of hate. But it's so important that I share with you guys, and I really am so passionate about what I do. So basically, last week I was on a consult call with a girl. Super sweet, not going to mention her name. She is in her 20s and she has been training consistently, she told me, for basically 4 to 5 years, which is crazy and awesome, but not really seeing much progress. She's been following more of like a cookie cutter program, just from like an influencer that she found on Instagram. She's been eating fairly healthy too, especially when you compare it to most of the general population. And then she's kind of just in this place of stagnancy. And this conversation really just was close to my heart, I would say, because stagnancy is the absolute worst place to be for me, because it's like, you know, you're putting in the work, you're showing up for the gym consistently, you're trying to eat healthy, you're focused on rest and recovery and all of those small things. And you think you're doing, again, all of these right things, but it's just not adding up. Your health still isn't improving. You're not getting stronger. Your body composition looks the exact same from when you started years ago. So this is not a place that you ever want to be in. So after going through more of an in-depth, again, consult call with this girl, we kind of assessed what the missing pieces were. And it ended up being just a culmination of a lot of different things. We needed to structure her training in a way that was not this cookie cutter plan that she had found on Instagram with a million other girls following it. We needed to structure her macronutrients in a way that was actually fueling her body, you know, increasing her protein intake, increasing her calories overall to actually be able to put on lean muscle tissue and maintain a good body composition. We needed to structure her cardio in a way that was going to benefit her goals and needs. We needed to add in some supplementation that was going to help her recover better and have better digestion and all of these other issues and type of things that we could just improve. We need to focus on more when it comes to rest and recovery. I actually ended up, I believe, backing down her training days, which is very rare. But anyways, just started with this girl and it was just one very exciting consult call, someone that I'm super excited to help and wanted to share this story with you all because moral of the message is I just encourage you guys, if you're going through something similar, you're in a place of stagnancy. First off, you just need to be real and honest with yourself and know that when it comes to fitness and nutrition, if you are not seeing results, number one, something is wrong. And then number two, one size does not fit all. This is with training and with nutrition. Your protocol should not be the same as your boyfriend's or your best friend's or the influencer you see on Instagram or my current training protocol and nutrition regimen. Should not look like yours. Everyone's bodies, goals, and needs are just so, so different. And that's what's honestly fun about coaching and fun about kind of establishing a fitness and nutrition plan. It's completely custom to your body's goals and needs. So, relating this back to my coaching services, I love what I do because I try to make every plan, or I don't just try, I make sure that every plan is completely custom to all of my clients' goals and needs. You know, big morals of mine are communication, making sure that we have a great understanding. It's accountability, it's support, it's guidance, it's knowledge, all of these traits that really make you a better athlete, that really make you a better partner, that really make you better in your relationships, better just overall quality of life. That's what I try to do with my coaching services. So creating these custom tailored training and nutrition plans are really what I would say makes my coaching service special and something that I kind of pride myself in. And I just love helping others. I love the process of what I do. I love the process of seeing my girls, you know, feel stronger, seeing my girls feel more confident in their own skin, seeing my girls just feel healthier and actually get out of habits of sometimes maybe chronically under eating, not fueling themselves, overtraining, doing an insane amount of cardio, taking these excessive fat burners or different type of supplementation usage that they just really don't need to be doing. So I just know how valuable, I'll say this, having a custom health and wellness protocol has been for me and has been for just a lot of my clients. Having this balanced nutrition and training regimen really does just change my life every single day, and it continues to do so. So I just want to encourage you, if you guys need any help on your personal health and wellness journey, I am more than happy to give you the support, the guidance, the accountability, whatever you need to help you achieve the best mental and physical health possible. I am more than happy to do that. Whether it's you want to just lose body fat, you want to gain strength, you want to improve your metabolism, you want to build muscle, or you just want to better your overall health and wellness, you got to know that I got you. Again, I love what I do and I am accepting new clients right now. The best ways to reach out to me, if you are interested or you know someone who is, I work with clients from all over the world, which is so awesome. We have social media to do that. Best way to reach out to me is number one, through email, which is just going to be kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. That's kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me through Instagram. My personal account is @yoitskenslo. That's YOITSKENSLO. And then my business account is the word fitness, the number 4, and then the word fortitude, which is FORTITUDE, which is again really what my brand is all about, building a strong body, but also building a strong mind. They really work in relationship with one another. So now that you guys know a little bit more about me and my coaching service, I want to go ahead and jump into the first would you rather question for today. I hope you guys love this episode. So first question is, more volume or heavier load? Which would you rather? So for me, this one's pretty easy. I would always rather a heavier load versus volume, and I'll tell you why. I think if you want to see any type of muscle hypertrophy, which is building that skeletal muscle mass, you have to have a good combination. You have to have a balance of the right amount of volume and the right amount of load, because if you don't have one of those missing pieces, your training is not going to be as productive as it could be, and your ability to build that muscle mass is not going to be as strong, right? But for the most part, I see a lot of people doing what's called junk volume. So you may have, for example, a lower body session and you're choosing, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 different exercises, all of these exercises, 3 to 4 sets each. That is crazy. And I see it so, so often. Actually, the girl I mentioned earlier, her plan had a lot of like junk volume is what I call it, which is just a lot of exercises that if you're able to do that much volume, there is no way that you're training hard enough. There is no way that your sets are actually stimulating the type of muscle growth that you need. But if you're able to incorporate a little bit heavier load, but still with a moderate amount of volume, to me, that higher intensity is where it should be. So I'm a really big advocate on taking sets to complete muscle failure. I'm a really big advocate of trying to actually hit that muscle failure sooner rather than later, which is kind of a hard concept to understand. For example, I had a client doing, I believe it was a hack squat the other day, and I was telling her, look, I just want you to think about every rep that you do, we're actually trying to find complete muscle failure. Like, don't be afraid to fail. I don't need you doing a set of 20 reps. You know, if you're failing at 6, 7, 8, 9 reps, that is perfect. That's right where I want you to be. And on that specific movement, we were doing a really slow tempo. We were doing a pause at the bottom of the lift, and we were using a really heavy load based off of what this specific client could handle. So always erring on that heavier load is going to give you true results. And you have to push, again, close to muscle failure. Every rep should be burning. You have to find an uncomfortable place with the resistance and with the intensity when you're training if you want to actually see your body composition change and if you actually want to see yourself get stronger. I mean, you look at some of the best athletes in the world. You look at some of, you know, the best bodybuilders in the world. You know, just watch their training videos. They are training hard. They are pushing themselves to the limit. And that, I think, is so, so important. And along with that, that's just going to make you mentally stronger too. It's going to build mental resilience. Knowing that you can actually do hard things always makes you better. Okay. Would you rather more cardio or less food while on prep? So I haven't been on prep since, I guess it was the last time I competed was the first weekend in September. Not quite sure when I'm going to compete again, just for a little backstory. But for me, I would probably rather, gosh, it really just depends on like how much less food are we talking? You feel me? Or like how much more cardio are we doing? If it's to a point to where I'm already doing like for me over an hour of cardio, I'd probably just rather have less food just because I feel like the cardio really takes a lot of time and a lot of energy out of my day. So in that case, I would probably just go ahead and drop the food a little bit lower. But I would say if the cardio's anywhere under an hour, I'd probably rather have more food and just stick with the higher cardio. So that's my answer. I know it's not like a yes or no, but that kind of takes care of it. Would you rather have aesthetics or athleticism? Oh man, this is such a hard one because I will tell you like my past me, even like the past me, like since 6 months ago would have been like, no problem. Like I'd rather look crazy and just not be athletic at all. I'd rather just have my aesthetics. But over the past couple of months, I've really been loving just like being more athletic. And this is something I did a lot in the past. I have a background of cheer, cross country, track, tumbling, a little bit of gymnastics. And I've always liked to just play sports, like even if it's just like basketball or swimming or football, like I, not to say I've ever been good at those things, like the best, but you know, for someone who's just like decently athletic, I think it's fun. So from like a longevity standpoint, I definitely say athleticism over aesthetics, but I do believe that you can have both. Gosh, I know I'm going back and forth too damn much on this, but ooh, for me right now, in the current season that I'm in, I would say I really value my athleticism slightly more over my aesthetics. However, my aesthetics are still very good. I still stay in very good condition. But now when I'm in a competition prep, that answer is going to completely change. It's going to be, of course, aesthetics over athleticism, because a lot of times when I am training for a show, or every time I'm training for a show, I'm not really super athletic, I would say, because, you know, I'm not eating as much. I'm not doing, you know, as much tumbling or as much running or as much jumping, as much plyometrics, handstands, or those things that I kind of enjoy that I think make you more qualified to be like an athlete. However, my aesthetics look absolutely crazy. So again, depends on the season I'm in, but for season right now, I'm going to go with athleticism just by like literally 0.5%. Would you rather have strong legs but a weak upper body, or a weak lower body but strong arms? This one's pretty easy. I'd definitely rather have a strong lower body just because, I mean, I want my upper body to be strong too when it comes to shoulder presses and rows and like those big compound movements for shoulders and back, even like biceps and triceps work. However, I mean, I like having strong legs more, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like my booty to look good. I like my quads, my hamstrings to look nice a little bit more, I would say, than I care about my upper body. And just to me, training legs, just, you know, you really can't go wrong with a good hard leg day. Like, it just makes you feel so powerful. And I don't want to be in the gym and I can barely hip thrust and I can barely squat and my leg press is weak. Like, nah, you know what I'm saying? I want to be more strong in my lower body if I absolutely had to choose. But of course, being a bodybuilder, being an athlete, I definitely want to have strong both. But if I had to choose one again, we're going with legs, baby. Would you rather a keto diet or intermittent fasting? Okay, I definitely am not a fan of either one of these. To me, what works well for my body is a well-balanced diet. I typically have 4 to 5 meals a day, a little bit smaller portions, focused all around high protein intake and really fueling my body for whatever I have going on in that day. I'm always measuring out my food. I have all of my macros listed out, and I do check-ins with myself in order to make changes in my protocol based off of how I'm looking and how I'm feeling. Whenever I'm competing for a show, I have a coach who does all of this for me to save me the headache and to make sure I'm not killing myself and getting absolutely too lean. But to answer your question, I want to first go over kind of what these two diets are. That way you get a little bit of a better understanding for my answer. So ketogenic diet is basically an extremely low carb, high fat diet that forces the body to use fat as its main energy source versus carbohydrates. So typically carbohydrates are going to be your body's main energy source, but they are a macronutrient that's not essential. But when you're on this keto diet, you are restricting carbs pretty much as possible. And this to me has more cons for sure than pros, because it can lead to nutrient deficiencies. Oftentimes it can make you feel or have what's called the keto flu, which is where your body goes through just absolutely terrible, like flu-like symptoms because of this extreme diet change. So when we talk about flu symptoms, I know because I'm feeling them right now. So, you know, it's nausea, it's headache, it's major fatigue and tiredness. It's you feel like you got hit by a bus. You know, that's the best way I can describe it. So you definitely don't want to feel like that. Also, I feel like with the keto diet, it's just something that's not very sustainable long term, and it can lead to very disordered eating patterns. So I do think for some people, you know, maybe it works, or if you're really in a place to where you want to lose weight quickly, but you know, you're most likely going to gain it back, you know, it's something that you could try. I definitely don't recommend it again for those reasons. And also too, like eventually your body's going to want some carbohydrates. Like you're going to crave that. And I don't think you should completely deprive yourself from foods such as whole grains and oats and fruits and rice. I think these foods are actually really beneficial for your body, especially when it comes to like a training standpoint. You know, you really want to fuel your body for what you have going on that day. And I believe carbohydrates, again, are the body's main energy source. So I don't recommend trying to substitute that for fats. Fats, although they do provide the body with some energy, that's not their main function. Okay. Now, when we talk about intermittent fasting, this is an eating protocol where you basically cycle periods of eating normally and periods of fasting. So you are restricting your eating window, the time that you can consume food, for specific times each day or maybe each week. It depends on what like fasting protocol you're following, but you're making your body go for definitely extended periods of time without foods. So for example, you may have an eating window that's from 12 p.m. from noon to 8 p.m. each day, and you're not allowed to eat outside of these hours. So you're restricting your calories only for that certain window. I do think this can be beneficial for some people. I mean, there's a lot of research behind it as like a weight loss aid to better your digestion, to get maybe better sleep. But I still don't love it for me personally, as I mentioned. You're skipping meals when you are fasting. So I think, again, this can lead to headache and can lead to you being more tired. It can lead to more brain fog. It can lead to just you're not really focused. Your mood's not going to be as good. Lack of mental clarity. And again, just lack of sustainability, because you're going to be thinking about food when you're hungry. You're not going to be focused on whatever thing that you have going on. Maybe it's a work task, or maybe you're just trying to be more present, which is something I'm working on. And I definitely don't think fasting helps with this. But overall, would you rather answer the question? I'd definitely rather go with the intermittent fasting than I would the keto diet, 100%. Still eating in those windows, I think, will be healthier, and still having carbohydrates in my diet versus cutting the carbs out altogether and being able to eat whenever I wanted throughout the day. And I do want to say, though, everyone's body, as we mentioned earlier, really everyone's goals and needs are totally different. So you may find, like, again, keto diet does work for you, or intermittent fasting does work for you. I do think this is super, super rare, especially when it comes to the keto diet, but you might be that one in a million out there who it does work for. You may have something specific going on with your body that you do need to fast, or you do find the benefits, again, of other diet protocols. But to me, the best protocol is just eating healthy. You know, it's a healthy balance of, again, protein, fats, and carbohydrates, eating foods that digest well, eating foods that make you feel good and make you look good as well. Okay, next question. Would you rather EAAs or BCAAs? Great question. So these are basically two supplements. To answer your question, definitely EAAs are the way to go, and I'll tell you why. But these are two supplements that are both really good for helping your body with muscle repair and preservation of muscle mass. But the difference is, when you take an EAA, it's going to contain all 9 essential amino acids. However, BCAAs only contain 3, and the 3 that they contain, I believe, are valine, leucine, and isoleucine. Now, for me, I want my supplement to contain all 9 of the essential amino acids. So that one's pretty easy for me to, again, answer. I love both, though. I feel like these taste just so good, especially if you're someone who feels a little bit run down throughout the day, or again, you're looking for something to help you repair and recover a little bit faster, or you're just looking for something to kind of taste good and keep you hydrated throughout the day. I definitely recommend trying out either one of these products, but again, have to pick one. We're going with the essential amino acids. And also, on a side note, I actually use one from First Form right now. The flavor I have is blueberry lemonade. It tastes so good. Like I said, sometimes for me, like, I just want something kind of sweet to sip on, like, throughout the day. I drink a ton of water, and I get up super early and go to bed late. So, like, I'm drinking a lot of fluid throughout the day, and sometimes I just want it to be not plain water, but something to kind of mix in it and help me feel really good. All right. Would you rather eat only processed foods for the rest of your life, or never be able to lift again? Oh, gosh. Oh, y'all know how much I love my lifting. It would hurt my heart so much to quit. But if I were only to eat processed foods for the rest of my life, I feel like I would literally die. Like, I would feel so much like shit. And I'm just so against that. I would have to go with never be able to lift again. Like, at least I could try some other type of exercise, because this person didn't really specify. So maybe I could, like, run or dance or find a new skill, maybe like boxing or something that's going to keep me active. I could at least do body weight stuff too, body weight lunges, squats, push-ups, do some calisthenics. So yeah, definitely. I can't be on that processed foods. I mean, you guys, if I can stress one thing to you, it's try to find as many foods as you can that are at their most natural states. Foods that have been either minimally processed or not processed at all is obviously going to be number one, the best. When you're eating these processed foods, there is so much harsh chemicals and dyes and added preservatives and all these things that truly are killing people. I mean, there is so much research behind this. Just by bettering your diet, you will feel and look so much better. You truly are what you eat. So no. I'm not eating the processed foods the rest of my life. I'm just not having it. It's enough. Okay. Would you rather do handstands for the rest of your life versus squatting? I love this question. Someone asked me this on my story, because lately I've been doing so many handstands. Like, I just love standing on my hands. I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's just fun for me. I love doing, like, front walkovers and back walkovers, and just trying to, again, enhance my athletic ability, especially when it comes to, like, skills that I've had in the past. Especially, again, while I'm not competing, I think it's so fun just to be able to do things like this. And now that my bones are a little bit stronger, my body's a little bit healthier, my body's not in this fight or flight mode. Anyways, all this being said, though, man, if I can't ever do a handstand for the rest of my life, or I can't ever squat, I love my handstands, but I think I'm gonna have to go with squat for the rest of my life versus handstands, because squatting, I'll tell you why, squatting is so functional. I don't want to be like, 80 or 90 years old and like I can hit a handstand but I can't do a squat, like how am I supposed to get up from my bed? Like how am I supposed to get up from the toilet? Like whatever it may be. So I would still say, although I do love my handstands and I'm definitely going to continue to hit them, I would say I'd rather squat still for the rest of my life. And there's so many squats that you can do. I love squatting, whether it's pendulum squats, Smith machine squats, free weight squats. I do love squatting too. So, and great movement to build the legs, you know, handstands are not building my legs. So that's what I have to say. Would you rather hold a plank or hold a squat? Easy one. I'd rather hold a plank. I think if you're holding a squat, it would be much more challenging, especially if you're loading that weight on your back and you're doing like a weighted squat. For me, my core is super strong. My core is super stable. So I definitely rather hold a plank. All right, let's see. Would you rather eat healthy and count macros or just eat healthy without tracking? Okay, for me personally, I'd rather eat healthy and count macros, but I don't think macro counting is for everybody, especially if you have past experiences with maybe like an eating disorder or disordered eating patterns, or you're just not really in that season of life and you're not in a mindset where you want to track and you find it more like it's hindering your progress. I would say don't worry about tracking if you know you're eating healthy, which most people don't really know that. But to me, I'd definitely rather count my macros just because I always like to know exactly what I'm putting in my body and how it's responding. When you make a nutrition plan, it's not going to be the same for the next year. You know, you're going to make changes based off of how your body's responding. And I'm a huge advocate of really, again, using food as fuel. So for example, my macros are going to be different on the days that I train. My macros are going to be different on the days that I rest. I'm going to add in some higher macro days, whether it's increasing the carbohydrates and fats on when I have maybe a heavy leg day, or I'm adding in a cheat meal for a purpose before I'm going to have a really hard training session, or maybe I know my caloric burn is going to be really high. I'm training a bunch of clients. I'm doing extra cardio. I'm going to probably increase my food a little bit there too. So I always like to know what I'm eating. I love the lifestyle of bodybuilding, whether I was stepping on stage or whether I wasn't. I think I would always kind of measure my food. And I think that's important. I think now I'm not quite as psychotic about it, but I like to know, again, exactly how much I'm eating. And it makes me feel more accomplished to count my macros and stick to a structured meal plan. And I know what works well for my body. So again, for me personally, definitely eat healthy and count macros. Would you rather chicken or steak? Good question. So if it was like chicken or steak for the rest of my life, I would prefer chicken, but I'm going to go with steak. So I'm really not a big steak person. I don't really like enjoy it that much. I like to have a steak like every once in a while, and I eat it just for overall health reasons, but I actually just like chicken better. And both are good protein sources, don't get me wrong, but chicken is going to be a little bit lower in calories, lower in fats. When you're eating steak, it's going to be higher in calories, higher in fats, but it's also going to be higher in some essential vitamins such as iron, such as zinc, which are, again, really important for overall health and immune function. So my immune function must be lacking. Maybe I need some more steak, but I don't know. But no, seriously. So rest of my life, if I had to choose, I'm going with steak, but only for health reasons. I do prefer chicken a lot more. Would you rather skip a workout or skip a meal? Easy one. I'd rather skip a meal for sure. I hate skipping my workouts. It's already been a couple days that I've been out of the gym and I just feel like my body is fiending. Like my body is fiending. My mind is fiending. I don't know how people don't work out. It just is killing me inside. So yeah, definitely I'd rather for sure skip a meal than a workout. Would you rather hip thrust or squats for glute gains? Okay, so both are going to be really optimal for hitting the glutes. I would say when it comes to more of like isolation, hip thrust is going to give you that. You're still going to engage your hamstrings and your quads, you know, your lower back, a couple other different muscle groups when you are doing a hip thrust. But the contraction is definitely a little bit greater, I would say, when you're doing a hip thrust. However, I do think a squat can be so, so beneficial for building the glutes, especially if you're doing more of like a wide stance, you're kind of angling the toes outwards and you're getting like a really deep range of motion. There's just so much variation you could do. So I think if I could only pick one, like I can't ever do hip thrust again, or I can't ever do squats again, I would just cut out the hip thrust, because I still think a hip thrust, it's a great movement, but it's not something you absolutely have to build your glutes. There's really not one specific exercise that it's like, you have to do this exercise. It's the end all be all. And other than that, you're never going to build your booty. You're never going to look good. It's just not really like that. There are so many different exercises out there. And it, again, it just really depends on your body's goals and needs. So, man, I hate to cut out my hip thrusts, baby. I hate them. And I've been progressing so much on them lately, but we're going to have to go with the squats. Okay. And then last one for today, would you rather be super lean all the time, but have no strength, or be super strong, but be a little bit fluffy? Okay. For me, I'd rather just be super lean all the time and no strength. I like being lean. You know, there's times where I've definitely been leaner. I like my body composition right now. It's, I would say maybe like 8 to 10 pounds above my stage weight, but I'm also feeling really strong. My hormones are healthier. My metabolism is way better. And I'm athletic. But I'm not fluffy by any means. So I'd rather be weak and just be lean. I've done it many times in my life before, and I am happy to do it again. I definitely do care about my aesthetics. So that's my answer on that one. No questions asked, baby. So that is all of the would you rather questions I have for today. Those are the ones that I thought were actually good and ones that I felt comfortable with answering, ones that I thought you guys would like. If there's any ones that I missed or just any questions that you have in general, any way that I can help you, you know how to reach me again through those same Instagram profiles we talked about earlier or through my email that I mentioned in the first few minutes of my show. Just one more thing that I want to end with. I always like to take a question from a listener and want to share that with you guys and give you the answer. Again, you can drop questions that you'd like for me to answer on the show related to health and wellness or related to anything that you just want to ask me. I love answering questions again through those same accounts we talked about earlier. But getting to the question, this person says, I really struggle with putting on body weight and building muscle. What would your top recommendations be to gain weight in a healthy way? So first off, I think you're in a special position. I think for most females, they're usually wanting to lose weight and don't really struggle putting on body weight. But this is a case for a couple people, of course, that I've seen. And this has been me in the past as well. So first thing you have to note is you need to be in a caloric surplus, which just means you need to make sure over a consistent period of time, you are focused on eating more calories every single day than you are burning. Okay, that's number one. Secondly, when it comes to the foods that you're eating, I would focus on foods that are more calorically dense. So this is going to be foods that have a higher calorie count in relation to their weight. So for example, think about like oils, nut butters, fattier cuts of meat, starchy carbs, even like some processed foods in moderation. I want to say, you guys know I'm not a big fan of processed foods, as I mentioned earlier, but if you're having like, you know, a plain cereal, that can be really helpful. If you're having like a muffin, like a blueberry muffin before you train and you again are super lean, you're struggling to put on body weight, eating that carbohydrate, eating something that's a little bit more processed, is going to be much healthier than being super tiny, not being able to put on muscle, being in a place to where you're just unhealthy amount of skinny is worse, I would say, in my opinion. So you just have to find that balance. Again, not to say you're going to have 5 muffins every single day, but to have one and along with that, you're eating foods at their most natural state is going to work well for you. I'll take my brother, for example. He just sent me his plan. He's been working on it so hard. I'm proud of him, but I told him, like, it's okay. You struggle to gain weight. You struggle to eat. So try adding in foods that are a little bit more calorically dense. Try adding in like some plain, again, rice Chex or Rice Krispie cereal before you train, or try adding in maybe like a plain waffle with some honey before you train, or adding in, like I said, like a blueberry or like banana muffin, something like that I think can be beneficial. And then next one, I would say try to minimize your output a little bit. You have to understand, like, if you are someone who's super, super active, you're doing loads of cardio, your activity level is super high, that's going to make you actually have to eat more. So I would say if you're someone who's really struggling to put on weight, definitely make sure you're still training hard, training productive, but I wouldn't really do any outside cardio outside of just like natural steps that you're taking until your weight comes up a little bit. And then just for overall cardiovascular reasons, for health reasons, you can start adding in some cardio from there. And then another thing is mass gainers and carb powders. Again, I'm not a huge fan of supplementation like this unless you have to. But if you're someone who, again, you just can't eat, it's hard to get food down, there are some really good mass gainers and carb powders out there. I believe that First Form actually carries a couple, and I can leave that in the show notes below if you'd like. This is a company that I've been working with for a while now. And then carb powders, I've actually used some too, like throughout my preps off Amazon, that are pretty easy. I mean, you can just put a scoop in like water, and it's going to give you 40, 50 grams of carbs, which is much easier than eating like, say, a bunch of rice or a bunch of oats or something like that. So definitely take advantage of those supplements.
If you want high quality supplements that taste good and yield results, you have to check out First Form. This is a supplement company that I truly do believe in. First Form products are backed by research and created to improve your overall health and performance. What I love most about this brand, though, isn't the products, it's the team's philosophy. Developing an undeniable belief in self, cultivating courage, and adopting a no-quit and never-settle mentality, which you guys know I am all about. But of course, the products are bomb, too. Right now, I'm loving the vegan protein powder and flavor iced oatmeal cookie and the unflavored creatine to boost my performance in the gym and fight off muscle fatigue. Be sure to get these awesome products from First Form and purchase through my link, firstform.com/KinsleyMeeks, in my Instagram bio, at YoItsKinslow, that's YoItsKinslow, to support me and better your overall health and wellness. Now, let's get back to the pod.
And then again, as I mentioned, just make sure still, although you're eating more food, you're still training really hard, you're focused on good sleep, you're recovering really well, just taking care of your body. And I also want to mention, I know that I created an episode a while back. It was episode number 28. It was titled How to Properly Create a Reverse Diet, Building Muscle Mass Without Gaining Excessive Body Fat. I know you're not necessarily reverse dieting, but it's going to be the same protocol, talking about a caloric surplus, talking about how to gain weight the healthy way. You guys know I'm not a big fan of dirty bulking. Some people use that as such a major excuse. There is just no need for you to put on a ton of body fat and look terrible and feel crappy and eat all this processed junk all the time just to gain weight. That's just not what you need to do. So it's finding that balance. Definitely check out that episode. And I really hope that this helps you. If you need any help, like custom again with your coaching, you can always reach out to me. But that's a good spot to be in. You're all good. You just got to eat a little bit more, train hard. You'll be good to go, girl. So yeah, that is all that I have for you guys today. Again, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Just a fun little spin on Would You Rather. I want to encourage you guys to prioritize both your mental and your physical health always and send in messages on what you'd like to see next. Be athletic, but also be aesthetic. Remember, you can have both, and at all costs, hit handstands no matter what. I appreciate you guys tuning in to this week's episode. Looking forward to recording the next one. Hopefully I'll feel a little bit better. I feel like this is taking everything out of me, but I'm glad that we got it done. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Get those gains. Wishing you blessings. And again, physical and mental wellness. I will talk to you next Thursday. Bye.